Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Real BS Show. And do we got some BS for you today?
Loads of it.
That's Seth over there.
That is.
Say hello to everybody, Seth.
Hello, Seth. And we're staying 9 feet away from each other now.
Yeah, right. We got to increase that a foot every. Pretty soon we're going to have to buy longer mic cables.
Right.
Hey, before we go, what we're going to do is the best and worst of everything we can think of in America.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the world. I don't know. But before we do that, let's liquor or lather or loosen everybody up with some music.
Yeah, shot in the night.
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back at you in a little bit. Hey, this is the Real BS Show with Bill and Seth.
Right.
That's what the B and S stands for, in case anybody thinks otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. there might be other ideas what it might mean.
And today we're going to do something, I don't want to say different. We're going to enlighten everybody. How's that?
Yeah, these things are very subjective, but, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of research went behind this, and our friend Mr. Biggs did all the research for us. So What we're going to do is scope out, in case any of you are wondering, the worst, the best, the whatever, the biggest, the smallest of America.
Yeah, and a little bit of the world, too, kind of a comparison. There might,
yeah, if we got yeah some comparisons, but I don't know, the worst state to live in, the best state, the best city, the worst city, small town, you know, we try to hit all kinds of different stuff.
And we'll add a little bit into ours too, you know, like what we've seen, you know, like you've been around the United States and so have I. I've been in different, you know, all over.
Well, don't move to California, I'll tell you.
We're going
to
see that
I
for
was
them,
there
though.
For 4 years. Oh, man. No, I don't care how many beaches they got.
Right.
terrible place.
It's a very definitely different.
Well, that's my opinion. I don't know what this guy's opinion, Mr. Yeah. Briggs, the guy does all the research, so... what do you want to start off with, the worst states or the best states?
The 10 worst states.
10 worst states. Okay, well, this is very interesting stuff, and maybe your state will be included in there. Who knows?
Who knows?
But it's kind of an interesting way to listen to this.
Yeah, we don't want to, like, you know, necessarily we agree with the guy, but maybe he's right, you know?
Well,
so you can't be offended if
he's right. Like I say, there's a lot of research went into this, so much more than we could do.
Right.
All right, let's take it away. The worst, 10 worst states.
Ah, do you smell that? That's the fresh scent of a new year. Of course, with the new year come the new year resolutions. I just wish some of the states on this list would make a new year's resolution to, well, basically change everything. You might think your state is the absolute worst, but statistically speaking, it probably isn't. I guess that just goes to show how awful the following states are, which I've ranked according to their economy, safety, education, cost of living, and quality of life, among other things. Okay, so quick disclaimer, these states aren't all completely hopeless, except maybe Mississippi. But the cons definitely outweigh the pros. They would need to take that whole new year, new you thing really seriously to turn things around. And there's always someone who does and practically starts an entirely different life. If that someone is you, what better way to start over than to move to a totally different state? But a lot of states might even be worse than your current situation, so before you make a blind decision, make sure you have 2020 vision for the top 10 worst states to live in for 2020. Okay, that was way more cheesy than I thought. Let's just do this. Number 10, California. Ah, the Golden State. Well, it's more of a smoggy brown, really, but that's a technicality. Sure, all the movies make it seem like a permanent vacation, but don't be fooled. The amenities come with a fat price tag. Rent alone is at least $2,000 a month in Los Angeles and $3,000 in the Bay Area. This just isn't affordable, even though the minimum wage is $12 an hour and $15 in the cities. And while that might sound good, it's actually a lot less after taxes, which are the highest in the nation. If you choose to live outside the city for cheaper rent, expect to spend at least an hour or two each way on your daily commute, because the traffic here is bad. Seriously, I knew some people in LA who had to sit in standstill traffic for 4 to 5 hours every day. Now, if you can ever find the time to actually enjoy the beaches or the 9 national parks, you might want to bring a gas mask, because the air quality here is the worst. Literally, it's the worst in the country. Do you know what else is the worst? That nearly 40% of Californians are living either near or below the poverty line. No wonder there are currently more people leaving than moving to California. In fact, I was one of them. But overpopulation is still a huge issue. There are so many reasons California was ranked as having one of the worst qualities of life in 2019, and it's not easy to fix either. You need like 7 permits just to plant a tree in your yard, let alone to actually fix something like a rundown building or the public education system, which, again, is one of the worst in the country. Californians are constantly voting to raise their own taxes in an effort to help, but they never read the fine print to see that most of that money is actually going to a corrupt political system instead of the freeway they promised to fix 10 years ago. But while the Golden State isn't the best place to live, there are also 9 states even worse than it. So before we make this entire video about California, number 9, Missouri. More like misery. While California only has one bear in its flag, Missouri has two. And that's not the only way the Show Me State shows California who's boss. It's also better at stinking. Missouri has the sixth highest crime rate in the country, with no signs of dropping anytime soon. Many try and blame it on the St. Louis and Kansas City areas, which both consistently rank among the top five most dangerous cities in America, but only 330 out of the 607 Missouri murders and 700 out of the 2,900 rapes in 2018 occurred in the two major cities. I'm guessing the lack of protections against LGBTQA plus discriminations only make things worse. Not to mention the lack of anti-discrimination laws in the workplace regarding, well, just about anything, including marital status and age. Now, if you do get discriminated against or stabbed, good luck getting medical attention, since while most states are expanding their Medicaid programs, Missouri is cutting them faster than any other state. This has left over 200,000 residents who should be eligible uninsured, 83,000 of which are children. Number 8. Tennessee. Looks like the volunteer state could use some of those volunteers right about now, because the only 10 I see with Tennessee is that it's one of the worst 10 states to live in. Most of you have probably heard that Nashville's growing astronomically because it's a really cool city to live in with a booming economy. But in contrast to Nashville, the crime rate in Memphis is 410% above the national average, making it one of the top three most dangerous cities in the nation, which makes Tennessee the second most violent state in the United States. Honestly, if it weren't for Memphis, Tennessee probably wouldn't even be on this list. But besides being dangerous, there also aren't many job opportunities outside of Nashville. Tennessee's median annual household income is just $51,340. That's $10,000 below the national average. Maybe it's that lack of money that makes the public education system here so terrible. Or maybe it's just the poor governing. But hey, at least there's no state income tax. Number 7. Alaska. Another state with no income tax, or sales tax for that matter. When you think of Alaska, you probably think of beautiful, untouched wilderness. And you're not wrong. The last frontier is kind of the definition of isolation. You come here if you want to escape the hustle and bustle and just live in nature. But do you know who else wants to escape? Criminals. Alaska has the highest violent crime rate and the second highest property crime rate in the nation. Rape and aggravated assault per capita are both nearly four times the national average. And as if that isn't bad enough, Alaska also gets freaking cold and dark. By dark, I mean there's literally less than 4 hours of daylight during winter in the interior, and by cold, I mean negative 50 Fahrenheit. Sure, if you're in Anchorage or the Inside Passage, it doesn't get as cold, and there is a bit more sunlight, but it's still really cold and dark. And when it isn't cold and dark, it's the complete opposite. The sun is up practically all night, making it hard to sleep, and there are mosquitoes the size of your fist. If the environment isn't enough to scare you away, maybe the cost of living is. Everything is more expensive here, and rarely fresh since it has to all be imported. The utility bills are also the second highest in the nation, only behind Hawaii. So people resort to chopping and burning wood just to stay warm. But that also causes a huge pollution and air quality problem. In fact, Fairbanks has the third worst pollution of any U.S. city because of it, despite only having 30,000 residents. Now to round things out, public education is awful, the housing market is the worst in the country, and the last frontier was ranked as the worst state for business. Maybe that's why they have the highest unemployment rate at a whopping 6.1%. Alaska honestly isn't doing many things right and would be a lot lower on this list if it weren't for its sheer beauty. Number 6. West Virginia. West Virginia is a sad testament to industrialism. The tops of many beautiful mountains and the surrounding nature have been destroyed by the mining that the state's economy once relied on. But as the nation's dependence on coal decreases, so does West Virginia's financial outlook. Cities and public infrastructure are literally crumbling into ghost towns. What was once a great state, now is the worst economy in the nation with a 4.9% unemployment rate, which explains the 17.8% 10% poverty rate. It isn't surprising West Virginia was ranked as the most unhappy state of 2019. And they aren't very healthy either. The Mountain State has a 39.5% obesity rate, tied for the highest in the nation. And nearly 27% of West Virginians smoke regularly, the most of any state. West Virginia is also home to the highest rate of death due to drug overdoses, and the competition isn't even close. What makes all of this even worse is that the healthcare system here is also the worst in the U.S. Now, you're probably asking, is there anything West Virginia doesn't suck at? Well, it is the cheapest state to live in, but despite this, people are still struggling to make ends meet. There just aren't many decent paying jobs, or many jobs at all. The median household income here is just $44,097. That's the lowest in the nation. And for those of you thinking, what? West Virginia sounds awful. How could it only be number 6? Just wait and see how bad these next 5 states are. Number 5. Arkansas. It's ironic that Arkansas was nicknamed the Land of Opportunity because it's really more like a lack of opportunity. Sure, it's the third cheapest state in the country, but aside from the Fayetteville, Rogers, Springdale area, which is actually a pretty great place to live with a thriving economy, I don't know why anyone would want to live here. Between the high crime rate, awful healthcare, terrible schools, low quality of life, and poverty rate of 18.9%, things are just bad. And the poverty rate for children is even worse at a whopping 26%, which actually makes a lot of sense considering Arkansas has both the highest divorce and teenage pregnancy rate in the nation. This probably has something to do with the fact that sex ed isn't required to be taught in school, and for most schools, abstinence is the only thing they teach. Arkansas also has the 5th highest property and violent crime rates in the country, and if you go to the cities like Little Rock or Pine Bluff, it's even more dangerous. But to be fair, you don't have to duck at every gunshot you hear. Well, unless you are a duck, because duck hunting is a big thing here. More ducks are actually hunted in Arkansas than any other state. Number 4. Mississippi. Now, before you Mississippians say I'm just biased and hating on your state, I'll be fair and acknowledge that Mississippi has actually improved a lot. 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been first or second on this list. But while it isn't the worst state to live in anymore, it still stinks. Despite the recent improvements, the Magnolia State still has the second highest unemployment rate at 5.6%, the highest poverty rate at 21.5%, the third worst schools in the country, and is tied with West Virginia as the most obese state. Mississippi's also the poorest state, which makes sense since there are literally no high-paying jobs. And while another one of its nicknames might be the hospitality state, there are literally no protections against discrimination of any kind here, unless you're disabled. And there are definitely no protections for women when it comes to their health. Mississippi has the highest rate of death from heart disease, breast cancer, and diabetes in women, as well as the highest infant mortality rate and second worst accessibility to affordable healthcare. I'm guessing all these stressful factors contribute to the fact that Mississippi also has the lowest life expectancy in the country at just 74 and a half years on average. But on the bright side, the violent crime rate is a lot lower than the national average. So maybe there is some southern hospitality after all. Number 3. New Mexico. Sure, New Mexico might have the most PhDs per capita of any state, but all these smarty pants still can't figure out a way to make their state not suck. In contrast with all those degrees, New Mexico has one of the absolute worst public schooling systems and the lowest high school graduation rate at just 71%. Maybe that's why the state also has the 4th lowest median household income, 4th highest unemployment rate, and unsurprisingly, the 2nd highest poverty rate at 19.7%. But worst of all, New Mexico is the most dangerous state. Now, there are a few reasons for this, including a terrible drug problem and Mexican cartels having a huge presence in the cities, as well as the wage gap between the rich and the poor being one of the highest in the nation. There isn't much economic growth or opportunity either. Because of this, New Mexico leads the nation in car thefts, armed robberies, break-ins, and pretty much every type of crime. The quality of life here just isn't great, which really is a shame considering how much potential the state has. The landscape is breathtaking with nearly 300 sunny days a year. The culture is rich with centuries of Native American and Spanish history. And there's just this magical and spiritual feeling in the air. I mean, it is called the Land of Enchantment. New Mexico is honestly one of my favorite states, and I'd highly recommend visiting. Just maybe don't bring your most expensive car, because there's a pretty decent chance it'll get stolen. Number 2. Louisiana. You're probably starting to see a trend that a lot of the states on this list are in the South and are poor with little opportunity. And Louisiana is no exception. In fact, Louisiana was ranked as the most corrupt state of 2019. Yikes. Maybe all the political corruption explains why the Bayou State has the third worst healthcare, second worst education, second worst economy, fifth highest unemployment rate, fourth highest obesity rate, the most corrupt prison system, and ranks absolutely dead last in terms of opportunity. It's also really easy to have a gambling problem here, since Louisiana is the only state other than Nevada that allows casino-style gambling statewide. If that doesn't leave you broke, then the sales tax that ranges anywhere from 9 to 12% probably will. Now, on the plus side, the food here is amazing, but that's probably the only good thing about this state. Now, before we get to number one, some honorable mentions that just missed the cut but are still pretty terrible in their own right are South Carolina, Nevada, Indiana, Oklahoma, Kentucky, and for some reason, literally everyone I know from Illinois says it's the worst state, but it really just isn't. Sorry. And now, number one. Number one. Alabama. Sweet home Alabama. More like not so sweet home Alabama, considering the 18% poverty rate, worst public school system in the country, high crime rate, awful healthcare with the second highest infant mortality rate of any state, and the absolute worst quality of life in America. The quality of life is actually so bad here that a United Nations study on poverty determined that rural Alabama has the worst poverty in the developed world. The amount of people in the Cotton State living in homes not connected to the public sewage systems, and who instead dig ditches nearby for their wastewater, is staggeringly high. A lot of places in rural Alabama actually have sanitation scores similar to a third world country. Not to mention, the Heart of Dixie is one of only 5 U.S. states that lacks protection against discrimination for basically anyone. And having the worst quality of life in the United States isn't the only way you have to pay to live here, because just like in Louisiana, the local and special sales taxes are also exceedingly high. Unless you just love college football and have to go to every Crimson Tide game, I really don't know why anyone would want to live here.
All right, there you go. That's the Alabama, huh? I lived there for 4 years, too.
Yeah, I've been through it. I never lived there, but
number one and number 10 I lived in.
Right, right.
I didn't see Pennsylvania, though. I mean, we're someplace in the middle.
We're not too bad, you know.
Well, I tell you what. I saw a thing about the 10 states that everybody's leaving.
Yeah.
So that could coincide. Let's see if that coincides with the 10 worst states.
Right.
You want to try that?
That sounds good.
All right, let's see what this guy has to say.
Are we getting sick of being cold? Are we getting tired of high taxes? Are we bored? Every 5 years, Americans move to another home. It's not always a dramatic move, say going from California to Colorado. Often it's close by, like across town or to another part of the state. Every 5 years might sound like a lot, but it's actually lower than it used to be. As a population, we're getting older, and older people can't move as easily as younger people can. Nowadays, mom and dad both have jobs, which makes mobility a tougher pill to swallow. And data shows that we don't job hop as often as we used to, so we don't move as much. Which states are seeing the biggest population declines over time? Actually, there are exactly 10 of them. The rest of the states have either seen slight increases or big gains in people. We'll talk about where people are moving and why everyone's leaving and all the other fun stuff. So grab your packing tape and don't forget the goldfish. We're going to explore America's fastest shrinking states. On the road again, going places that I've never been. Getting out of states that I'll never see again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. So here we go, hopping in the truck. This is going to be fun, everyone. A new adventure. Anything's better than Kansas. No, Kansas isn't that bad, is it? Well, clearly it's not the bee's knees, since it's our 10th fastest shrinking state. We actually have 10 states exactly that saw population declines last year. Kansas barely qualified. It lost only 0.1% of its population of late, which isn't so bad. But the population decrease is accelerating here, as Kansas had a smallish 1.8% population increase over the last decade, so people are leaving at a faster rate. Why are people leaving such a pretty state? Jobs, mostly. I mean, the schools are pretty good. The cost of living's reasonable. The biggest demographic moving out of Kansas are older people, folks over the age of 55. She couldn't wait to get out of here. But then she came back and realized she actually kind of missed it. Now the opposite, the fastest growing state, is the state of Idaho, which saw a 4.1% growth rate last year and a 16.2% population increase over the last decade. But Utah grew even faster than Idaho in the last 10 years, with an 18.2% growth rate. Both of these states have a booming economy and an exceptional cost of living. Teeny little Rhode Island ranks as the state with the second biggest outbound migration rate. What's wrong with Rhode Island? Nothing, really. When they asked people why they were leaving Rhode Island, nearly half said for jobs. We're actually going to hear that a lot. A quarter of the people leaving are retiring, often to southern states with less taxes. It's the wealthier people getting out of Dodge, too. Hardly any of the poorer Rhode Islanders are leaving. Now, what about the fastest shrinking countries? Most are in Eastern Europe, places like Bulgaria, Lithuania, Latvia, Serbia, Ukraine. Japan's culture shift has meant that it's on pace to lose about 20 million people in the next 30 years. They're just not having enough kids to keep up with the aging population. Same goes with Italy. The countries growing the fastest are all in Africa. A high fertility rate and better medical technology means people are living longer here, and the population growth is exploding. However, these countries are all very poor, which is a big problem in this part of the world. All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside my door. I can't wait to hit the road and say goodbye. We had to fly our stuff out of our next shrinking state because renting a boat to move a couch and our pets just doesn't seem prudent, especially when we spent a fortune trying to afford living in Hawaii. When you have the highest cost of living in the nation, it's kind of hard to keep people around. Many of us can't justify paying an average $672,000 for a house, even if this is in your backyard. Rent here is like $2,000 a month at best, and grocery costs are through the roof. No wonder the population's dropped here for 3 consecutive years. Besides people leaving because they can't afford to live here, there are fewer little Hawaiian babies being born. Aw, that's too bad. Little Hawaiian babies are so cute. We go down south for the first time, and actually for the last time. Louisiana is the only southern state that didn't increase residents last year. Even Mississippi gained a few people. As we mentioned earlier, the South and the West are where we're all moving. The biggest destination for Louisianans is next door in Texas. A whopping 70% of people leaving Louisiana are doing it for better jobs. As you may know, if you don't work in energy, the fishing industry, or in agriculture, it's tough finding work here, mister. And the lower the oil prices go, the poorer everyone here gets. Sadly. Get ready for a long drive. Good thing we have snow tires. We're here in Alaska. At least for now, because like a lot of other people, we're leaving. 6 years in a row it's been since Alaska had a net migration. That's the longest ever. It's tough finding good work up here in no man's land, and it's expensive for things like heating fuel, medical insurance, and bear traps. Of course, it's very cold and dark here too. The older population's beginning to get tired of that, and the younger population, well, they don't like not having amazing internet and a Starbucks on every corner, so they leave.
Did you know every resident in Alaska gets a check every year?
I did know that, Mappy. And I looked it up, and last year, Alaskans got $1,600 each just for being Alaskans.
That's a lot.
No, not really, Mappy. Childcare alone here costs about $7,600 a year. $1,600 isn't even enough to pay for igloo insurance.
Hey!
Mappy has no idea what day-to-day costs are. I haven't really told you guys, but his family's been living with me for the last 3 years. I just might have to do something about that, though. But for now, we drop in on Connecticut for a live view of a very happy family packing their sh**. Like Alaska before it, Connecticut's population has dropped for 6 consecutive years, too. Families like this are moving out every day. That's kind of a weird way to pack. What are they doing with the plastic like that? More than 1 in 3 people leave Connecticut because they retired. And 3/4 are relatively wealthy folks. Connecticut had a net loss of 30,000 people last year, many to nearby New York, Massachusetts, and California for some reason. I guess they never visited California before, because... The northeastern part of the U.S. has been hit hard by an outward population migration. It's been 4 consecutive years that the Empire State has lost people. A lot of them are from upstate, a region which has been hit hard by manufacturing job losses, and the cold climate doesn't help. But it's not just folks leaving the sticks. Last year, 131 people left New York City every single day. Lots of folks are burned out by the fast-paced life, and the high cost of living is just wearing on people, I guess. Of course, many people are moving to New York City as well. 2/3 came from abroad. That means other countries. A lot of New Yorkers are leaving for southern states, especially Florida, which is the 5th fastest growing state of all, mostly because it's warm here and there's no income tax. New Yorkers also flee to nearby New Jersey and Pennsylvania at a high clip. Just know I'm not alone, 'cause we're gonna make your state our home. Our next fastest shrinking state is Illinois. Why? Taxes, the weather, Chicago, crime, nothing to do. Every 5 minutes, somebody leaves Illinois for another state. This state lost 104,000 people last year. Illinois is the only Midwest state that didn't grow last year, outside of Kansas. Now, because the population has shrunk so fast here, the demand for housing has also gone down. That's impacted one of Illinois' biggest industries, real estate. Now, less homes means less property taxes, which means the economy is sinking even faster. And they're talking about hiking income taxes even more here next year, which will mean more people will likely leave again. Bye, Illinois. Now, Wyoming actually lost more people than any other state last year. But Wyoming had seen a slight gain in people over the previous decade. That means Wyoming's population decline is picking up steam. Why are people leaving all of this? Mostly jobs and better economies elsewhere. Americans do want to live in less crowded places these days, but the sweet spot seems to be the suburbs, outside of major metro areas. There aren't any major metro areas in the Cowboy State. The economy here, and the jobs, have been up and down for the last 5 years. Look at which states are right next to Wyoming. Idaho, Utah, and Colorado, 3 of the fastest growing states. They're stealing Wyoming's residents away. Jerks. Which state is the fastest shrinking of them all? West Virginia is. There are many, many reasons why the Mountain State has been bleeding residents. Of course, jobs have a lot to do with it. The unemployment rate here is about 25% higher than the national average. Thusly, 2/3 of the people leaving are doing so for bigger paychecks, or actual paychecks. And most interestingly, nearly 3 in 10 people leaving are young. That's really high. It's like you grow up in West Virginia and you can't wait to get the heck out of West Virginia as soon as you can. People here are poor, where 20% live in poverty. It's an older, unhealthy population, and part of the decline is just people are dying. There were more deaths than births here last year. And sadly, addictions are a big problem in West Virginia too. Now, will people continue to leave West Virginia? Probably. Many of the other states we talked about will probably see that as well. We want better jobs, warmer weather, and a better life, and some places in our country allow us to do just that. So next time you're looking around, wondering why on earth you're stuck there, remember this, you're not. Take action and move on to greener pastures. You'll be a lot happier. You can always come back. Settle down, it will all be clear. Don't pay no mind to me, I don't want to be here. Just know you're not alone, I just don't want to make this state my home.
West Virginia, Mountain Mama. I like that state.
Yeah, it's a nice state.
You know, drive through, anyways, yeah. On a motorcycle.
I mean, they have a lot of nice little towns and everything. And I kind of...
beautiful mountains and scenery and stuff.
I'm not saying I would purposely want to live there, but I would say that it's a nice secluded area some places, and it's really nice.
Sometimes that's the best way to go, is right. Go where nobody else goes.
Right. I mean, if they're leaving, maybe property values are cheap there. Who knows?
You know? Yeah, could be. Maybe the taxes are low, too. Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, if people are leaving, where are they going to?
Right.
They have to be. We got a list of where they're going to?
I think so. We do. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play that and let's serenade everybody with that information.
We could work through the states they're going to and maybe figure out why they're going there.
Yeah. So I'll know where not to go. Okay. Let's do it.
Feeling a little crowded? Late to work more often? Sick of the long lines at the grocery store? Well, then you might live in a part of America that's getting too crowded. The population of the United States increased by more than 2 million people last year. Natural growth, meaning people being born versus people dying, accounted for most of the population increase in America, while only a small part of our nation's growth was due to immigration. We're growing, but it's not the Mexicans or the Chinese or the Zimbabweans that are the reason for most of it. Across individual states, population growth was far from even. Some states are growing fast, and some states are actually shrinking. And it's regional, too. While populations in the South and West are growing, the Northeast and Midwest are not. We'll get to the reasons why later. In order to determine the fastest growing states, we simply had to measure the populations of each state from 2010 until now. As we'll see, some of these states might be surprisingly quickly growing, and some that you think are getting way too overcrowded actually aren't growing that much at all. So get ready to sit in traffic and prepare to be late for your important function as we bring you America's fastest growing states. We begin our travels to the fastest growing states in America in the state of North Carolina. I live here, I know. North Carolina's booming. Part of that's due to the very pleasurable climate. It's not too warm here outside of a couple sweltering months in the summer, and this state gets some snow, but not enough that you need to buy a snowblower. It's still relatively affordable, and for the most part, there aren't large ghetto areas in any one large pocket. And for folks in the Northeast who don't want to go all the way to Florida, North Carolina's a halfway point. The tech scene here is booming, especially in the Raleigh-Durham metro area and in Charlotte. Lots of companies are leaving California to open up technology companies here. Raleigh, the capital, has grown 20%, and Charlotte's grown 17%. Both are in the top 10 in the U.S. They say 188 people move to the Raleigh area every day. I'm a transplant. I'm part of the reason traffic on the 40 is getting worse and worse every damn day. Next up on our expanding expanse takes us to Idaho. Idaho? Yes, Idaho. Probably California rejects. Here in Idaho, the population has grown a very rapid 5.5% since 2010. But the people in Idaho will tell you, Idaho's closed. Now let's compare Idaho's growth rate to that of America's slowest growing state, West Virginia. Actually, West Virginia is going backwards. The mountain states lost 1% of its state population in the same time frame. To put that into perspective, the next slowest growing state is Vermont, which has lost 0.25% of its population. So West Virginia is by far the state that's losing the most people. West Virginia is the only state where more people died than were born and is the only state where more people moved away than moved to it. West Virginia has one of the oldest populations of any state, has the highest death rate, and one of the lowest birth rates in the country. So no wonder the population's shrinking here. Back to Idaho, it's the opposite here. Idaho has a relatively high birth rate, and a third of its new residents moved to the Potato State. Another interesting note, Idaho's population growth has coincided with a big decline in unemployment, too. Not sure what types of jobs you'd do in Idaho, but there's plenty of them. Sorry, Idaho. Secret's out. We're going to stay on the west side of the country as we visit our eighth fastest growing state, Arizona. Probably California rejects. Arizona's population grew by 6.3%, more than twice the national population growth rate. Much of Arizona's growth was due to new residents migrating to the state. Arizona's the fourth most popular place where other Americans are moving to. For the third year in a row, Maricopa County led the way of all U.S. counties for population growth. This includes cities like Phoenix, Mesa, Chandler, Scottsdale, Tempe, and Glendale. But why out west? A number of factors affect migration patterns throughout the U.S. Americans move for economic and educational opportunities, as well as quality of life factors, such as a warm climate and cost of living. Arizona meets that criteria. It's relatively affordable, its mid-sized cities have decent school systems, and there's a decent number of jobs here, too. Arizona is just one example of how there are simply more Americans moving from the Northeast and Midwest to the South and West. We're not leaving the West Coast for a while, so buckle your seatbelts and stop texting and driving. Our next stop is the state of Washington. More California rejects. Washington's population has increased 6.3% since the last decade. Washington's strong population growth has been accompanied by a substantial increase in GDP, which has grown at an average rate of 2.2% a year, the fourth fastest pace of any state. Washington's information sector, which includes industry giants like Microsoft, Amazon, and Expedia, grew faster than in any other state except Pennsylvania over that period. Washington's also one of three states on this list with a high international population growth, meaning a lot of people are moving to Washington from other countries.
Did you know Seattle has been the nation's fastest growing city in America for 5 straight years?
I did know that, Mappy. I've also heard the homeless population there is a result of that. Would you ever live on the streets and ask for money, Mappy?
No, I have too many kids to worry about. I want to provide for them. That's why I work on this channel.
Mappy, you're a true American. A real role model for all who want a free handout in this country. Thank you for setting such a good example, buddy. Speaking of role models, let's travel to our next fastest growing state in America, Nevada. Actually, Nevada's not really a role model. I just needed a transition and I got lazy. Nevada's population has grown at a very high clip of 6.8%. Also, partly due to, let's say it together, California rejects. Nevada grew by 2% last year alone, so its population is surging. If we only measured very recent population growth numbers, Nevada would win. Nevada's also towards the top of the states in today's video in terms of international growth. This article says that the Nevada desert has become an oasis for both immigrants and younger progressives who want things like legal green stuff and liberal politics. It's also one of the most diverse states too, a topic we covered not too long ago. Now, there's still only 3 million people here, so there's a lot of room to expand. So you can bet, Nevada is definitely open for business. We're halfway through, and we're heading to the east for the first time in a long time. This time, we go to the always talked about state of Florida, where the population has grown 7.6%. In 2014, Florida overtook New York as the third most populous state in the country. Like many of the fastest growing states on this list, Florida's rapid population growth was largely due to migration. About 9 of every 10 new Floridans either moved to the state from elsewhere in the US or from another country. More people move from New York to Florida than any other state. Of course, there are many, many, many reasons why Florida is such a popular destination for Americans to move to. It's hot, too hot actually, taxes are very favorable, there's a ton to do, and the economy's great. All right, one more trip out west for a couple more stops. This time, we park it in Colorado, where the population has grown 7.7% since 2010. More California rejects. A net influx of 50,216 Americans relocated to Colorado in 2016 alone, more than all but 5 other states. The population growth occurred alongside a steep decline in unemployment too. Just 3.3% of the Colorado labor force is unemployed, tied with Vermont as the 6th lowest unemployment rate of any state. This somewhat interesting summary pointed out that Denver has the 4th most cranes of any other city. It also states that people are moving here for the mountain scenery. There's actually quite a few articles written about why so many people are flocking to Colorado.
Did you know Colorado has the skinniest population of all?
I think I heard that somewhere once before, yes. Are you trying to get me to comment on your figure, or...
Maybe.
Okay, you're super hot, Mrs. Mappy. You're like the hottest map of all maps. If you moved to Colorado, I'm sure you'd be the hottest MILF of all. JK, I'm not into maps. Come on now. Okay, one more western state. I think we've covered half of them now as we enter the confines of the always growing state of Utah. California rejects? No, Mormons. Utah's growing like a weed. It's the fastest growing state over the last 5 years, where the population has grown nearly 3 times the national average. Unlike most fast-growing states, the majority of Utah's population wasn't because people moved there. It's due to natural growth. That means babies. Lots and lots of babies. Utah has the largest average family size in the country, and coincidentally, the highest Mormon population too. But is it a stereotype that Mormons have a lot of babies? No, it's true. Mormons make up nearly two-thirds of Utah's population. The Mormon population typically has about 3.4 kids at home, while the average American family has about 2.1 kids at home. Utah's also a very healthy state. So when you have the highest birth rate and the lowest death rate of any other state, you're gonna grow, just organically. Hee-haw! Time to tussle in the great state of Texas. Here, the population has grown 8.6%, which is just massive. But it's a big state, they can handle it, because everything's big in Texas, right? It makes sense Texas is on here, considering that 5 of the nation's 15 fastest growing cities are all in Texas. But why? We'll tell you. Blue collar jobs, oil, cheap rent, cheap land, low taxes, diversity, family values, good weather. There's no attitude and most people are friendly enough. The rules are less strict here. And well, once you're a Texan, you stick around, as they say. Texas is also a major destination of our emergingly large Hispanic community, which is growing faster than any other race, although somewhat slower of late. In case you didn't know, the Hispanic population isn't growing as fast as it once was, as younger generations aren't pumping them out as often. Of course, all of this is putting a strain on Texas's infrastructure. Roads are clogged, schools are overcrowded, and, well, they're even running out of tacos. JK, that would be like chaos. But today, more and more people are putting GTT on their doors as they're heading to the Lone Star State for good. That's gone to Texas, you twerp. Drum roll, please. Where is our fastest growing state in America? California, New York, New Jersey, Iowa? No, it's North Dakota. What in tarnation? North Dakota's population has surged more than 11% since the turn of the last decade, which is far and above everybody else. When I was a kid growing up, my grandpa Lou used to tell me that I was growing so fast, he'd have to put a brick on my head. North Dakota needs a brick on their head. Most of, or part of that reason, has been the huge, and I mean huge, uptick in the number of blue-collar jobs here, particularly the oil and natural gas boom. People have come from all over to enjoy amazing pay, low cost of living, and a sense of purpose. Then, when the gig's up, they stick around and enjoy the state's freedoms like legal gambling, legal this, legal that. Because of all the drilling profits, the state picks up the tab for a lot of stuff too, so taxes are low. And college kids who graduate around these parts are actually not fleeing North Dakota like they used to. So now it's cool to live in North Dakota? Now keep in mind, there's still only 757,298 people here, which is basically the size of Seattle. And if all the oil and gas dries up, you can bet things will change. But for now, North Dakota's the bee's knees. So there you have it, our fastest growing states in America. The places in our fine country where people are moving to, or multiplying the fastest in, or both. As we always do, let's show the states that are actually growing the least amount, or in this case, actually shrinking. We mentioned West Virginia, and both Illinois and Vermont have also lost a few people too. Why are so many people leaving Illinois and Vermont? So if you're in one of the states we talked about and you're feeling the pinch, it's not just you. It's you and you and you and you and you and you. And if you're looking for somewhere to move and want to follow the crowd, then be a sheep and do just that. And if you're looking to move and want to make your own trail, then head to places like West Virginia, Vermont, Illinois, Wyoming, and Mississippi. Because the lines are short for tickets to ride those places. The end.
Well, this is the Real BS Show, and speaking of the 10 best, worst, or whatever, how about cities?
Yeah, there's some dumb cities out there.
Cities? Do you want to do the dumbest cities?
The dumbest cities.
Think we can find that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's dumbest cities. How about dangerous cities? Best cities to live in?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff about cities.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
We can learn, but we won't. Didn't study history. We could try, but we don't. Don't know geography. Duh, duh. Duh, duh. Fail away, fail away, fail away. Fail away, fail away, fail away. Americans like to think we're the best when it comes to just about everything, when measured against other nations anyway. While we're certainly the richest, most freedom-loving, and pretty much the bodyguards for the poor and defenseless, we've known for years that we're certainly not the smartest country on Earth. Recently, U.S. kids ranked 24th for reading scores, 25th for science scores, and we didn't even rank in the top 25 for math scores. And when you measure IQ, we're all the way down here. We're really smart people, just not the smartest, but we're working on it. We're not measuring how smart people are. No, we wanted to measure the biggest cities in the U.S. to see where the most dummies live. So, how do you decide which cities in the U.S. are the dumbest? By measuring the high school graduation rate and the number of people who went to college in each city. So, everybody take out your report cards as we take a look at the dumbest places in America. I'm taking my test, but I don't remember. We begin our dummy tour across America in, unsurprisingly, Las Vegas. Here in Las Vegas, the high school dropout rate is 16%, and the number of residents who went to college is only 23%. Now compare that to America's smartest city, Seattle, where the high school dropout rate is only 5%, and the number of people who went to college is 61%. A real big difference. Of course, Las Vegas is not necessarily trying to look very smart. A lot of the city's taken up by gambling, music, and other entertaining distractions that don't take a bookworm to navigate. Wouldn't it be interesting to measure the number of bars versus libraries in Vegas to try to determine where their priorities are lined up? As you can imagine, there's probably a large number of bars in Las Vegas. $13.99? What the? They can't make it $1,400? Now, let's see how many libraries there are in Las Vegas. 49? That's a 29-to-1 bar-to-library ratio. Sure, a lot of people who live in Las Vegas don't go to Vegas, but what would they do for entertainment? We tried to see if there's a way to tell what dumb people do for fun. And we're not talking about this stuff. Now, if you look at this chart, the least educated Americans spend most of their time on two things, personal care activities and leisure and sports. So we're gonna assume leisure means nothing, so that makes sense. The census defines personal care activities as stuff like sleeping, oh God. Plus, we have to mention that Las Vegas has the nation's second highest number of men to women ratio, behind San Jose, which is filled with computer geeks. So Las Vegas basically has the most dumb men in the US too. And studies have shown that women are slightly smarter than men. Forever dumb. Welcome to Phoenix, the ninth dumbest place in America. Why, you ask? Well, it might help that Phoenix has a 19% dropout rate, or that only 28% of people in Phoenix went to college. This guy Aiden didn't hold back on his review of the intelligence level of Phoenix. He says the schools are substandard, and there's too many people locked up, and there aren't any great jobs. Well, if you look at this chart, while Glendale, Tempe, and Scottsdale are all in the nation's top 50 ranked school districts, Phoenix is way down here at 75. And Phoenix is the fifth biggest city in the US. Arizona also has the nation's fifth highest incarceration rates. Wow, look at Louisiana. They'd be in some trouble down there. Now, as we know, prisoners are very stupid. These lawbreakers are pretty stupid too, but they probably won't wind up in jail. Same goes for this guy. Somewhere out there, someone's not too bright. Let's move on to our next dumbest place in America, Los Angeles. As you've probably heard, California's full of a bunch of real airheads. And the data backs it up. Education participation in Los Angeles is for the birds. Of all major cities, LA has the nation's third highest dropout rate. LA does make up for it though in terms of college degree holders, which is about average. The nation's third highest dropout rate's alarming, and that's even after the LA Unified School District has improved. But for now, LA Unified's battled bad teachers, uninterested kids, budget shortfalls, and a lack of any real solutions for a long time. Parents in the LA area are constantly yanking their kids out of this district.
One other thing that makes people in LA dumb is sitting in traffic.
You're right about that, Mappy. I think people can get dumber just sitting in their cars for hours every week. At least, according to research and all. And nice glasses, by the way. You trying to show me up? Mappy brings up a good point. What types of cars do dumb people drive? Well, there wasn't really a good answer on the web, but the internet speculates that dumb people drive old pickup trucks, Pontiac Sunbirds, and lowered Honda Civics. Here we are, face to face, a couple of stupid fools. Moving on, we come to our seventh dumbest place in America, Hartford. Here, the dropout rate is 31%, and the number of people with college degrees is 21%. The libraries to bars ratio? 16 to 1, meaning there are far more bar stools in town than there are library cards. And while there's lots of places to get your BUD in Hartford, there aren't too many places to get your GED. You might be thinking, isn't Connecticut the wealthiest state? Yes, it is, but most of the rich people don't live in Hartford, that's for sure. And Connecticut, as a whole, has been struggling with debt and keeping good jobs in the state. Most of the time, college students leave Hartford when they finish school. I would. Hartford was considering filing for bankruptcy, too. That's pretty dumb. Where do dumb people shop? Well, according to research, the more smart you are, the more you shop online. While the dumber you are, the more likely you are to shop at Walmart. Stupid girl, all you had, you wasted. All you had, you wasted. We're gonna head south for quite a bit now as we come to the city of San Antonio. In fact, of the six cities left, five are in Texas and California. San Antonio ranks in the top 10 for both least number of college-educated residents and the highest number of high school dropouts. Only 1 in 4 residents in this Texas city has gone on to college. Now, one leading website says part of that reason is generationally poor kids are foregoing college and choosing blue-collar jobs. Hey, at least they're working. That's more than you can say about a lot of America. Apparently, San Antonio schools have the biggest drug problem in the state of Texas, too. So the kids who are going to school here are getting dumb while they're supposed to be getting smart. And holy drunk, San Antonio! There's 91 libraries in the entire city, but more than 900 bars, clubs, and other related venues. That's a sign that there are way more important matters than studying. Once upon a time, I could finish a thought, but now they'll never even start. Nothing I can do, I'm totally not really smart. Howdy, Dallas. That's H-O-W-D-Y. Apparently, many of you can't spell very well. Here in the heart of Texas, a whopping 24% of kids drop out of high school. That's the second highest rate in America. A recent news report talked about Dallasians' propensity to leave high school early, saying that Dallas has actually improved. The dropout rate in Dallas is actually far higher now than the city's 50% graduation rate in the late 90s. Leon Lett's a former Dallas Cowboys player, and he made perhaps the stupidest ever play during a Super Bowl.
And Lett, if he had just run all the way, would have had the touchdowns. He's already celebrating, and Beebe stole it away.
Maybe if you live in Dallas, you should consider naming your kids Mary or John, because according to research, those are the names of the kids who are the smartest. Now, we couldn't find a list of names that traditionally dumb people have, but my vote's for Gary and Tina. Or if you're in Texas, people named Cody and Barb are probably names of dumb people there. Now, in terms of just plain stupid names people give their kids, magician Pin Gillette named his daughter Moxie Crimefighter Gillette, musician Jermaine Jackson named his kid Jermajesty Jackson, and musician Frank Zappa named his kid Moon Unit. Stupid. You take the dumb, you take the dense, you take them both, and there you have El Paso life. El Paso life. We're going to remain in the state of Texas as we hit up another of the Lone Star State's big cities, El Paso. Here, the kids have decided that school isn't cool. El Paso ranks fifth in America for both highest dropout rate and least number of college degree holders. Being so close to the Mexico border and a major border crossing point for immigrants coming into the U.S., you can expect that school necessarily isn't a priority here in El Paso. When you look at El Paso's population, there are 28% more women than men. What the hell? Wow, I guess there's a lot of dumb women in El Paso.
You said women were smarter than men earlier, Nick.
Shut up, Mappy. Take those glasses off. You're dumb. You know what, Mappy? Where'd you go? I don't like the way you talk back to me. Take the next video off. You're on channel suspension. Sorry, everyone. Stop crying, baby. Okay, so we're finally gonna leave the state of Texas for good as we come to our next dumbest place in America to live, Santa Ana. Here, the high school graduation rate is an embarrassing 50%. For all the dumb people out there, that means half the kids in Santa Ana don't finish high school. Santa Ana is in Orange County, and it's considered one of the most densely populated cities in the country. An article talking about Santa Ana's bad high school graduation reputation highlights, again, the high Mexican immigration population, noting that it's common in Mexico for kids to enter the workforce during high school, and that 2/3 of Santa Ana students aren't fluent in English, and that in many cases, the teacher is the only fluent English speaker in the room. Santa Ana's district is crowded and mostly poor, and most parents lack the language skills and education to help their kids with homework. They gotta fix that. We didn't go to college. No, we didn't try it because we couldn't buy it. Who has the distinction of being the nation's second stupidest city? That would be Detroit, Michigan. Sure, Detroit gets its fair share of bullying, but it's well-deserved. Detroit has the least number of college-educated residents at 14%. However, the problem here isn't that a lot of the kids in the suburbs aren't trying to go to college. Apparently, almost 2/3 of Detroit's metro area kids try college, but half of them drop out before finishing. However, in Detroit proper, only 10% of kids who actually graduate go on to enroll in college. As such, about 1/3 of Detroiters remain in poverty, a problem that only non-stupid people can fix. Famous people from Detroit include journalist James Lipton, pilot Charles Lindbergh, and Sergeant Slaughter. One of these three is dumber than the other two. Now, if you look on Twitter to see what most people are saying about Detroit being stupid, a lot of the talk is just about sports. Mappy, are you still crying? Jeez. Get out of here. I was country, and country doesn't school. We're back in California for our last stop as we come to the Central Valley city of Fresno, the dumbest place in the country. Here, residents have the nation's second highest dropout rate and the second least number of college degree holders for all major cities. 1 in 4 kids doesn't finish high school, and only 1 in 5 people finished college. When you look at the education level of most residents, you can see why Fresno is in the top 10% for welfare recipients and has a 25% poverty rate. Most of the reason Fresno is so uneducated is the number of farm workers in the area. The California Central Valley is one of the most fertile areas in the world, and there are lots of laborers here from all over Mexico, Central, and South America. And when you look at a smart city like Boston, you'll find there are more than 200 libraries. Boston and Fresno are similar sizes, but there's only 38 libraries in Fresno. Now, I'm not saying that a lack of libraries is a sign that people are stupid. We get it. Lots of people don't go to libraries, and you can learn anything you want on the web. That's if you have the web. There's a large percentage of Fresno that doesn't have a computer or the internet and must rely on a library in which to learn. And that would be really tough in Fresno. Of course, there's far better ways to spend your time than sitting in an overpriced college. We get it. There's a lot of case studies of people who drop out of school and go on to great, successful lives. But at least finishing high school is a sign that city's residents are preparing themselves for a successful career. It'll be interesting to see how these trends over time impact the American population. As more and more of our lives move online and different skills are required, will education be as important as it once was? Can Americans thrive in narrow niches in which they're experts?
This is the Real BS Show. You know what? Let's go Fresno.
Yeah, I kind of was shocked by that one.
Yeah,
as the most
I never
dumbest.
Would have guessed that. Fresno, California.
And from my understanding, he was going off the statistics of high school graduation and college education.
College completions.
Yeah, so
I don't know. I'd think like Bakersfield or someplace like that, yeah. You know, or down, I don't know, out there in the desert.
Yeah, or even in the south somewhere. You know, there's some places right. In the south that are pretty quite large cities that are scary.
Yeah, well, there's some scary ones up north, too, let me tell you.
Oh, sure.
And up there, Chico and some of them places in Oroville. Ooh, a lot of people that can't speak English.
No.
And So, if we go from the, what was that, the dumbest, how about the most dangerous?
Yeah.
We'll go from dumbest to dangerous. How's that?
Yeah, maybe there's some crossover in this. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be some comparisons here with it.
Yeah.
Dumb and dangerous go together.
Yeah.
So, well, let's give a listen and see what happens here.
What are you trying to hide? Don't you realize you're involved in a murder? You've got yourself in a jam it's not going to be easy to get out of, unless you're on the level with me. This is no time for secrets.
Murder. Such a scary word. Depending on where you live, it can be a really scary word. Or just another regular day in my hood word. Hopefully if you live in a really scary, murdery place, you probably have your doors locked right now. No, you'll be okay. Probably. Maybe. Things might seem like they're going to hell in a handbasket these days, as the saying goes, but you might be surprised to hear, it's not as bad as it used to be. Going back to 1950, when they started counting murders, I guess, today's homicide rate is far below its peak. We're closer to how things were in the mid-60s these days. Back in 1970, 1980, and 1991, things were really bad, like there were twice as many murders than today. And, dear American, you think things are bad in your hood? Check out the murder rates in other countries. Now, we'll go into this a little bit later, but for perspective, El Salvador has 11 times more murders per capita than the USA. In fact, it's kind of a Central American Caribbean sweep for highest murder rates, outside of a couple of African nations. We're way down here, somewhat near as many murders per capita as Greenland and Samoa. The least murdery country? There's a handful of small countries where nobody got murdered last year, and then Japan, where hardly anybody gets murdered ever. I guess they don't have guns there? Today in America, you have about a 1 in 20,000 chance of being murdered, but that number is much higher if you live in the cities we're going to talk about. So, lock your doors as we go through America's Murder Capitals 2020. Alright, let's get started here. First up on our murder capital tour of the US is Newark, New Jersey. Here in Newark, there were a total of 75 murders, which may or may not sound like a lot, but for a city of 282,000 people, that's a lot. For perspective, the entire state of West Virginia only had 67. You have a 1 in 3,000 chance of being killed in Newark every year. And get this, that's actually way down from the peak in 1960. That means Newark is safer now more than ever, and it's still really bad here. Apparently, they've been cracking down here in Newark, with aid coming from the FBI, State Attorney's Office, and New Jersey State Police. Newark PD has even resorted to providing haircuts for kids for school, giving away turkeys and coats along with school supplies to quell the violence. But the kids aren't the ones shooting people? If you don't want to get killed, stay in the north and east parts of Newark. If you want to be killed, then go to the south and west parts of Newark. Downtown is apparently better, but still nowhere near safe. Outside of Camden, Trenton, Atlantic City, and Paterson, the rest of the state's pretty safe, since, as a whole, New Jersey's the fifth safest state in the U.S. Where are we heading next? Let's follow this paramedic to Kansas City, Missouri, aka KCMO, aka KC Ghetto, at least in some parts. Here in Kansas City, Missouri, there were 137 murders last year. That's more than the whole state of Massachusetts. What's going on here, people? It's getting worse here, at least lately. Last year, the city nearly broke a record for murders, which it had set 2 years prior. And just about every single murder is unsolved, meaning the perps are still on the streets here. The KCPD has been urged to put more homicide detectives on the streets and develop a witness protection program to make it easier for people to come forward with leads. Just as I was writing this, a mass shooting in Kansas City was at the top of the news. I think they said this happened at a Kansas City Chiefs celebration party. Why does sports bring out the worst in people? 2/3 of those killed in Kansas City were black males, contributing to Missouri's number one ranking for black homicide victimization. Don't worry, Missouri, we'll be back again to visit you again before the end of this video. But for now, we heard some gunshots, so we're going to go en route to the city of Memphis. Here in Memphis, there were 191 murders. What the? That's more than the whole state of Wisconsin in a year. And it's getting worse here, too. 2 years ago, Memphis saw 180 people get killed, and then last year it was 187. It's so bad here in Memphis that officials are calling it a crisis, you think? The Justice Department now has a plan to solve problems in places like Memphis. It's called Operation Relentless Pursuit. It's going to involve more money, officers, and technology, and syncing databases to try to figure out a way to catch these killers. If you're watching this from another country, well, yes, the United States has some really terrible, scary places. But nothing like countries like Venezuela, where 8% of all murders happen worldwide. Mexico saw 6% of the world's murders last year. Colombia had 6% of the world's murders. Brazil had 4%, and South Africa had 3%. And here's a troubling stat. 400,000 people were murdered worldwide last year. That's more than died from drowning. Twice as many people, or 800,000, killed themselves last year. If you live in certain Baton Rouge neighborhoods, you might feel like you're in a foreign country. That's because you have a 1 in 2,800 chance of being murdered if you live here. 83 people were homicide victims last year, which was actually down from 2017 when 105 people were killed. That's a lot. This person lives in Baton Rouge, and she had some poignant things to say. Crime, violence, mental health issues, racism. I can count on two hands the people worth the investment of a long-term relationship. I hated moving there as a child, and I fully loathe the place now. Louisiana can literally break off and float out into the Gulf, and I wouldn't care, except I hope Baton Rouge was the first to drown. Damn. The areas in Baton Rouge where most of the murders happen are in low-income areas where high drug use and gangs are prevalent. No surprises there. Hurricane Katrina made the problem worse, apparently.
Did you know Louisiana has the highest incarceration rate in the world?
I think, maybe. I heard that once, Mappy. Is that really true? Wow, it looks like Louisiana had way more people locked up a few years ago, but it's gone down. What, are they letting people out? Also, Oklahoma took the lead for a minute. In terms of countries... Oh yeah, we're number one. The most locked up people of all. So Louisiana does have more people locked up than anywhere else in the world per capita. And look at all the countries that are over capacity for their prisons. Have you ever been to jail, Mappy?
No, never, and I don't plan to.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'd survive very long in there.
Maybe I'd make friends. The other prisoners could use me to find a way to escape.
That's a good point, Mappy. Oh, good old Mappy. Please don't ever wind up in jail. We'll never see you again. We don't have to go very far to get to our next murder capital of the U.S., New Orleans. Here, 119 people were murdered last year, that they know of, which is way better than in previous years, like in 50 years. But why? Well, for one, the mayor says her plan on using data-driven police interventions and community outreach is working. The Big Easy was the murder capital of America in 94, and from 94 to 2013, the city averaged 250 murders annually. Oh, but it's still bad here, and it's still more dangerous than in most places in Mexico and Venezuela. Tourists and residents are told to walk in groups. I've been to many areas in New Orleans, and besides just the rundown post-Katrina neighborhoods, you can almost get stabbed just a block off of Bourbon Street while taking a pee by a dumpster. Happened to me. There's rules on what to do so you don't get killed in New Orleans. Stay away from bad neighborhoods. Okay. Travel in groups. Be home by 1 a.m. Don't go to cemeteries. Don't look like you're weak. Carry a gun. Okay. Man, some serious stuff.
Detroit is daring to reach up. Some Detroiters prefer to dwell in these new, self-contained cities within a city. Others in new cooperatives or friendly neighborhoods. Whatever the choice, Detroiters rate their city high for living, working, and sheer enjoyment.
Yeah, Detroit is nothing like that now. Of course Detroit's on this list. This city saw 261 people murdered last year alone, which is more than the whole state of New Jersey, which has a city on this list. And murders are down here, too? It's only the first time since 1967 where there were less than 300 killings in this city. Probably because everyone's leaving? Typically, a city's crime rate goes up when its population goes down, so Detroit's an interesting case. Hopefully, it's a long-term trend. But if you think that's bad, in 1974, there were 714 murders here, and in 91, there were 615. So now's nothing. Of course, population declines left abandoned buildings behind, which have become magnets for the drug trade and angry, mean people. Poverty, crime, shootings, drugs, and urban blight in Detroit are ongoing problems. Poverty-wise, a typical Detroit neighborhood made about $25,000 last year, the second lowest in the country and about half of what the typical American household made. Similarly, its poverty rate of 40% is the second highest in the country, well more than double the national poverty rate of 15%. Birmingham, Alabama is our fourth murder capital of the U.S. That might throw you off since Detroit's only fifth, but if you're measuring actual murders per capita, the numbers don't lie. Here in Birmingham, there were 88 murders, and for a city of just over 200,000 people, that means residents have a 1 in 2,400 chance of being killed every year. You know your city's bad when the Venezuelan government's telling residents to avoid you. How are people being killed in the U.S.? This chart shows that about half of all murders are by a handgun, another 3,000 are by an unidentified gun, 1,500 people were stabbed to death, and then you have bare hands, blunt objects, poisoned? Only 5 people were poisoned last year in the U.S.? That seems low. Now, Birmingham's a very black city, where 2/3 of the population is African American. What percentage of murder victims in the U.S. are black men? Well, according to this chart, black Americans were only slightly more likely to be killed in the U.S., casting aside the myth that most murders in the U.S. are black-on-black crimes. Another interesting stat, most murders don't cross racial lines, meaning white people kill white people and black people kill black people. Of all black homicide victims, 86% were male, and the average age is 31 years old. 83% of black victims were shot and killed with guns. Here in Jackson, Mississippi, things certainly have been better, especially on the south side of town. There were 78 murders here, which means folks had a 1 in 2,100 chance of being a victim themselves. That's only twice as high as dying in an accidental drowning. Heck, your odds of falling down the stairs and dying is 1 in 1,600. Jackson's crime has been ticking up lately, but look at the last few years. This news channel in Jackson keeps a running tally of Jackson murders, which is sad. Last year ended with a bunch of shootings right on New Year's Eve in Jackson, where people were just randomly shooting into homes. What is going on, people? Which U.S. cities are actually decreasing their murder rates? Well, New York City had like 2,200 murders in 1990, but their murder rate's down by 90%. Chicago peaked in the early 90s as well, though the South Side is notoriously terrible for shootings. San Francisco, too, though covered in poop, has seen its homicide rate go down by quite a bit. Who's our homicide runner-up? St. Louis is. Here, more than 194 murders happened last year. For a city of over 300,000 people, that's a lot. You have about a 1 in 1,600 chance of dying in St. Louis every year, and likely by a gun. Way back in the early 90s, there were 100 more murders a year here, and over time, murders here have gone up and down, but currently, the number of murders each year are as high now as this city's seen since the late 90s. Downtown's pretty nice, at least in the winter months, a fact I can attest since I was just there a month ago. However, the north side of St. Louis is very, very bad, and where most of the problems happen, likely between people fighting over drugs or gang BS or both. St. Louis has a new plan called Cure Violence, which resembles Chicago's plan called Cease Fire. The goal is to treat gun violence like it's a disease and to stop its spread by helping youth see alternatives to violence and by convincing gunshot victims from retaliating. Okay, who's our murder capital of the USA? Baltimore is, or as people have called it, Bodymore Murderland. Here in Baltimore, there were 350 murders last year, which is the highest it's been since 1993. And close to an all-time high. It's also 5 years in a row now that there have been more than 300 murders in Baltimore. You have about a 1 in 1,700 chance of being murdered in Baltimore every year, and much higher in certain parts of the city. This site's been tracking homicides in Baltimore, and the last 100 only goes back to Halloween, and it's January right now. Look at the last mayors of Baltimore. Resigned, didn't run for re-election. Resigned, resigned, didn't run for re-election. Would you want that job? In Baltimore, the stated targets for busts aren't drug offenses. It's trying to find all the damn handguns. There's similar plans on what to do to curb the violence and murder rates here, but it's all the same thing, and it probably won't work. They've even considered flying surveillance planes over Baltimore 24/7. People say the police aren't as aggressive since the Freddie Gray murders and riots in 2015. Others say it's all the illegal guns laying around. Some say it's a drug crisis. Well, there were 417 mass shootings last year in the U.S., more than one every day. It's white versus white, black versus black. Lots of people here are sick, and big pockets of inner cities in the U.S. have had a breakdown of morality and family values. When the culture of the streets takes precedence over getting a damn job and being responsible, there's nothing we can do to stop it, except throw them all in jail. Can we do that?
Can we do that? Sure we can.
As long as it, you know, it's constitutional.
Constitutional, oh yeah. Boy. I can tell you what. You know what? You know, me, I've just kind of checked out of the whole situation. I'm living in the woods, off the grid. I don't know. I'm just, the farther away from people I am, the better I feel.
I can relate to that. I think a lot of the society problems comes to, you know, where there's a black market, that's where people are drawn to. They're going to try to make money. And there is that, the war on drugs, that in a lot of ways have failed. And you see it in these inner cities. And I think that's kind of pushing a lot of this, you know.
I think the lust for money is just...
There's a lot of greed, yeah, sure.
Caused so much damage from the rich people to the poor people. Yeah. Everybody's got the same problem.
I like what he said in the video, though, you know, the loss of family values. You know, many of these people, many of these cities, in areas where there's not cities, have no father in the home or a single parent, you know, and that's not easy to raise a kid as a single parent. It's easier to raise, you know, with two.
Yeah, teamwork's always better.
Right. It's very difficult, you know, and maybe we could go somewhere where it's a little bit more secluded, you know, like
less people secluded. Yeah. Is that what you mean? Or hidden?
Yeah,
I guess you could say. Yeah. Maybe nobody knows about. There's got to be a lot of those.
This
is a beautiful country. I've been all over this country on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm beautiful.
And camping and whatnot, and it is a beautiful country. Montana and some of these places are just gorgeous, you know. I mean, they have their good and bad. I mean, wintertime's not fun, but
no.
But I mean, same way over here on the eastern side on the Great Lakes. I mean, the winters can get long and nasty.
Yeah, definitely.
As a matter of fact, I think we got bad one coming up.
Well, probably.
So I got a feeling you got a thing on secluded small towns.
Most secluded towns in the United States.
All right.
Imagine being far away from everything.
Well, if we tell everybody what they are, they might not be secluded anymore.
They might be, or they might. That's why they're secluded. People won't move to them.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Got a lot of dangerous cliffs and
snakes.
Stuff like that. Snakes, yeah. Alligators. All right. Well, let's serenade everybody with that, and
we'll come back and
See what else we can get into.
Yeah. I did my research and I came up with the best 10 suggested secluded towns. The rules of this list are simple. The town or location has to have at least 100 people, has to have a post office, and has to be far away from a real town. So that being said, let's take a look at the top 10 most secluded towns in the United States. Number 10, Kremlin, Montana. Kremlin is a very small town in Hill County. The town is only about 282 acres wide, and it's just got 100 residents. The whole town is a farming community lacking a grocery store or a gas station. You'll have to drive 45 minutes if you want those luxuries, and that's in Big Sandy. Yes, Big Sandy is a town in Montana, not a nickname we gave my sister when she quit going to the gym. Then if you want to go another 2 hours away, you can get to the big city of Great Falls, Montana. That's like a giant metropolis by Montana standards. The community is so small, there's only one school and a fire station that doubles as the post office. Can you imagine that? The fire department races over to your house to put out a grease fire in your kitchen because you have no idea how to cook, while they're punching holes in your drywall to put out the fire that has now become electrical fire because you have no idea how to wire a house. And the chief says, "Oh, hey, I got some mail for you in the truck." Comes back and goes, "This one's from the IRS. Looks like you're getting an audit." Number 9. St. Paul, Alaska. St. Paul is the first of three Alaskan towns that made this list. St. Paul is a small town of about 500 people on St. Paul Island in the middle of the Bering Sea, and it's hard to get to, both figuratively and emotionally. Figuratively, it's a long, rough plane ride that sometimes requires a couple days of waiting for the weather to clear. Emotionally, that comes from a subscriber. She said she knew a girl from St. Paul that said the flight and the boredom took an emotional toll on her. That's why she never went back. The flight to St. Paul is a 3-hour flight over some of the roughest waters in the world. You know when the flight attendant gives you that safety briefing? They could get to that one part about the water landing and just say, in the unlikely event of a water landing, don't worry about the flotation device, you'll be frozen solid in 4 minutes after we hit the water. Number 8. Point Lay, Alaska. Point Lay is on the northwest coast of the state of Alaska. Like many other towns in the northern region, there's no roads to Point Lay. Any food, any supplies the town needs, they have to be brought in by plane. Back in the Cold War era, it might have been a little bit easier. The Air Force actually had a small installation there for some satellite dishes, but those were taken down around 2005-2006 after not being used for like 10 years. The population in 2000 was around 250 residents. As of 2015, 2015, the population has risen up to 270. They gained 20 people, with only about 85 residents in the workforce. So that's not good. Only about a third of the people actually working. Point Lay is a native village with about 80% of the population being native Alaskan. This thing is way out there. There's nothing around it except ocean and land, mostly frozen tundra. Number 7, Hewlett, Wyoming. Almost every city in Wyoming that isn't Cheyenne, Casper, or Laramie is relatively secluded, but you definitely have the extra secluded Hewlett. The population as of the 2010 census was about 385 people. Now it's estimated to be around 400. That just tells me there's 400 people in Wyoming that don't like having company. Hewlett has one school, a few places to eat, a grocery store, and a golf club. Yes, Hewlett has a golf course. Does a town in the middle of nowhere really need a golf course that is actually larger than the town itself? Makes no sense. The nearest big city in Wyoming is Casper, and that's about 3 hours away. Number 6. Dalhart, Texas. Dalhart is one of the larger secluded towns with little over 8,000 people as of 2017. This city sprung up from an old railroad junction back in like 1901. The city is in the very northwest corner of the state and 80 miles away from Amarillo and 40 miles away from the closest Walmart, which is, by Texas standards, really bad news. The good news is they do have a great burger place called The Grill. They serve these giant hamburgers. They're great. Number 5, Mackinac Island, Michigan. Now, this one made the list because it's sort of secluded, and a subscriber wrote me a very lengthy email about going to high school here with a 4-person graduating class. It was like a mini novel. There's so many words. Mackinac Island is home to about 500 residents as of the 2010 census. The closest mainland town is Mackinac City towards the south. There's a couple other ones that might be a little closer, but that's like the main one. The only way to the island is by ferry or private boat. That's in the summer, or snowmobile or airplane in the winter. The island does have an airport. There are no cars on this island. Residents and visitors have their choice of transportation. Horse, bike, or walk. In the summer. That's in the summer. In the winter, everyone drives snowmobiles. This one made the list because it has no cars. Also, the subscriber said the island isn't that far away during the summer. During the winter, it seems much further away. I kind of got the vibe from that, that it's just the weather keeps people away from the island. Anyway, people ride their snowmobiles everywhere. During the winter, parents pull their kids to school behind sleds and drop them right off the front door at the school. I thought that was kind of neat. Number 4, Stehekin, Washington. Stehekin is within the Wenatchee National Forest. This place is tucked away, to say the least. Stehekin has only about 100 residents, and the only way to get to the town is by taking the ferry up Lake Chelan, a long hike, a horseback ride, or by flying into Stehekin in a seaplane. Since there's no roads here, those are your only options. I imagine you could swim it, but that's a long swim. I don't know if anyone wants to swim that. I've never been here. Now, I've camped on Lake Chelan before, and this place is so far up the lake, I didn't even know it existed. I was there 3 days, no one mentioned it, knew nothing about it. I saw the seaplane, didn't know where it was going. It was really interesting. This place is so far away from everything, it has zero cell service. Zero. If you want to drop off the grid, this is your place. Now, like I said, I haven't been to that town, but I heard it's really nice. The pictures look nice. I'm going to go there this summer. I'll have pictures for you in June or July, I'm sure. Very interested about this place. Number 3, Haines, Alaska. Haines is a pretty tricky place to get to from Washington State or any of the contiguous states. Probably the easiest way is to fly into Fairbanks or Anchorage, drive through the Canadian provinces of British Columbia and the Yukon Territory. You'll be driving about 15 hours, that whole driving portion. Then once back in Alaska, you'll have to take the Klondike Highway to get to a ferry that will take you to your final destination of Haines. Haines has the basic necessities for a town. However, if you want anything extra other than the necessities and alcohol, you'll have to go to the closest city of Juneau, which isn't any easier to get to. It's just a little bigger. Like a lot of places in Alaska, weather plays a major role in travel. And stop typing. Not everyone only travels during the summer. I got that on a recent video, and someone said, well, if you're worried about the weather, just go in the summer. Yes, that's a great idea, because everyone's life's that simple that no matter what happens, they'll just put it off till the summer. Number 2, Supai, Arizona. Supai is the capital of the Havasupai Indian Reservation, located within the Grand Canyon and about 5.5 hours from Flagstaff. The community is home to only about 208 residents and is the only place in the U.S. where mail is still carried out by mules in the contiguous United States by the Department of Agriculture. And it's a good thing this place is so remote and hard to get to. I am sure if it was closer to, say, some main road, it would be overrun by visitors and a-holes. Look at it. It's amazing. Most people that make this trek do so with a certain amount of respect. You're not going to see people in beach chairs with beer like you would at the river or Lake Havasu. It's a lot nicer, just hard to get to. And number one, Yellow Pines, Idaho. Yellow Pines is located right outside of the Payette National Forest, and as of the 2010 census, the population was only 32 people. And I know that's below the requirements for this list. Kind of broke my own rules. But here's the catch. In the woods surrounding Yellow Pine, they have a bunch of people living in cabins and trailers. And the estimate for the 2020 census is that they'll get to about 100 people. The closest town with any chain restaurants or grocery stores is McCall, and that's 3 hours through the canyon. This is another place where in the winter, you seem like you got a little further away from everything else. This is also one of those places that if you live here, you feel like you're camping every day of your life. This is also a good place to move to if you're trying to escape your past. So they don't have any internet, television, or things like that. You might have internet, but it's that satellite internet, and you know, that's so slow it might take you 3 weeks to load a website of any news. It's that far out.
Well, this is a real BS show coming back. You know what? They forgot one city.
What's that?
Or small town. Wallaceville.
Wallaceville?
Yeah, that's where I live. Wallaceville. I think there's maybe 20 people there. Oh, that's right. You got to be over 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Now that makes sense.
Except for his last one. He kind of cheated on that one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He must have a relative that lives there or something. Maybe his girlfriend or something. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. That's enough of that interesting, enough learning for one day. Right.
Yeah. We don't want to do too much.
Yeah. We don't want to pack everybody with too much information. How about you want to end it with a song?
Yeah.
You got a song you want to play?
Get some lucky.
Get lucky?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the song?
Yeah. Daft Punk.
I don't remember it. I don't, you know, I'm not saying I never heard it, but I don't remember it. And so do your thing. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And stay tuned for next week's next exciting adventure.
Have a great day.
See ya.
She's up. up all night till the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night till the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 She's up all night till the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. Nights again, we're up all night again. 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 Lucky. 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 We're up all night again. Lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.